Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, we're live with this Wednesday edition of the program. I'll tell you what, sectional baseball gets underway on this Wednesday evening. We have a doubleheader coming your way tonight at Jeffersonville. That's the site of the 4A baseball sectional, and I think we've got some pretty good games. New Albany and Seymour will play each other in the opening game at 5:30. That will be followed by Floyd Central and Bedford North Lawrence. Those are both first-round games, so the winners from those two games will play Saturday afternoon in a semifinal game. A quick look at those games, and again, we'll be on tonight at 5:30. Lee Kelly, P.K. Falkenstein, and myself for a complete pitch-by-pitch coverage of the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville. But I tell you what, Chase Rudy, I think, expected to get the start tonight for New Albany. He will go against, I would assume, a very good pitcher from Seymour by the name of Alan Perry, who will go on to play college baseball. That should be a good matchup. New Albany, the better team, but Seymour will have a good pitcher to try and match Rudy tonight in the sectional opener. Also, Floyd Central and Bedford, that should be a really even game. So I think we're set for two good games tonight to get our sectional coverage underway. I know Lee and PK and I were looking forward to being with you. So tonight, if you're out and about, you're not going to make it to the ballpark, but you want to stay up with scores or check in or listen to the full deal from wall to wall, we'll have it for you on 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. We'll be streaming at BigXSportsRadio.com. And, of course, you can listen on the app as well on your phone, just a live listen. Go to BigXSportsRadio.com on your phone and listen that way as well. So excited about that. We've got a ton of baseball coverage coming up. It's the Memorial Day holiday weekend forthcoming. I know most of you, if not all of you, are off Monday. We'll have baseball semifinals Saturday from Jeff. We'll have the championship game Monday from Jeffersonville. We're even going to throw in some extra baseball Thursday night with a huge Providence and Silver Creek game set to take place at Silver Creek. That's the 3A sectional. So make sure you're with us. We cover Southern Indiana sports like no other and excited to be out at the ballpark. Always fun this time of year. Finally, we've got some good warm weather. Knock on wood, I think we have pretty good chances today moving into the weekend. Maybe some slight chances of some weather over the weekend, but pretty good chances for decent weather. We're hoping that that is the case. And let's hope we have some local teams that win each of these sectionals so we can extend our coverage at least a few weeks into the state tournament. Let's look at the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup for our program today. Really good show today. I'm excited to tell you about what's going to happen on our program today. We're going to take a dive away from our normal routine on Wednesday and do a couple different things. So the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup will look like this. In segment two, once I go through some headlines and talk about some activities of the day, we'll have Brian Keeter with us. And you may have read about Brian Keeter, who lives in Louisville. He played college basketball at North Carolina State, is a friend and former teammate of Archie Miller, Indiana's coach. But you may have read about him in a column that Greg Doyle did. It's been some time ago. About his relationship with Archie Miller. Brian was in an accident and is paralyzed from the waist down and is living life in a wheelchair. He's going to join us in studio here in the second segment and for a great part of the show today to talk not only about his situation and some things he's doing to raise awareness and hopefully improve spinal cord conditions for himself and others, of course, but also about Archie Miller. He's going to give us a real inside look at the IU coach and what he was like as a college player, what he's like as a friend. And these two guys have continued to have a friendship. Again, Brian now lives just across the river in Louisville, so he's very close to things So really looking forward to talking with him about multiple things today, not just Archie Miller, not just his condition, obviously, as well, but a lot of different things. I think he'll give us some real insight, and I'm expecting a great interview when he joins us here in just a little bit. So after that, Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune, he'll be with us today to help close out our Wednesday program. Not a better day to talk with Greg. He's excited about the baseball coverage coming in the News and Tribune here over the next couple weeks as well. And so we'll go through some of these matchups tonight now that we're here and give you a game day preview for the 4A section. And, of course, take a look ahead to the 3A games. There's some 3A games tonight at Providence, at Silver Creek. But the games we'll be covering at Silver Creek, of course, Providence and Silver Creek and Charlestown and Salem, those will be on our broadcast schedule for Thursday. So we'll do that as well. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for the Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A handful of things to get to today. Always fun. I mentioned yesterday we were talking a lot about Romeo's Instagram post with the number zero on a photoshopped IU jersey. And so we're kind of grasping at things to keep us occupied here in the off-season months and keep us – and I know everybody's really excited about the 2018-19 season that's upcoming. So anything out there that mentions IU, that mentions recruiting, it's kind of magnified, I feel like, this off-season because everybody wants the season to be here, not 5 or 6 months from now, but next month they're ready to go. A new college basketball poll out from College Basketball Talk and Rob Doster, and it's one of those way too early polls. It means nothing, but Indiana, this is the second poll that they have been mentioned in as one of the five teams that just missed the top 25. In this specific poll, Indiana was at the number 27 spot in the poll, right between number 26 Michigan and number 28 Purdue. So interesting to see that Indiana, who really wasn't getting any attention poll-wise at the end of last season with a couple new additions and with some players expected to return, not quite getting in the top 25 of some of the college basketball analysts out there, but they are getting some national looks at least, which I think is a good place to be at this point in the offseason. Again, these polls mean nothing. These aren't the official polls where you've got a lot of AP voters from different parts of the country weighing in. These are just off-season opinions, off-season reading to keep everybody thinking about the upcoming college basketball season that at this part is still a long ways away. Who is number one in Mr. Doster's poll, you might ask? Kansas, the Jayhawks, number one. He has Gonzaga 2, Villanova 3, Duke 4, and Kentucky 5, rounding out his top five for the upcoming season. I also saw a story yesterday from Rivals just mentioning a couple IU recruiting things. There were some questions. It was like a Q&A session with one of the recruiting experts or so-called experts from Rivals.com, if there is such thing as recruiting experts. I think sometimes these crystal ball predictions show us that a lot of these guys, it's a guessing game, just like what you and I are doing. But the question was about Keon Brooks and Trace Draxton Davis, if they decide to play together in college. They've had a good experience playing travel ball together, and they did want to sign with the same program. Where would that program, what's the leader for that situation? And Indiana was the answer, that they would definitely be the landing spot if they both chose to play together. And this is, again, just according to one analyst and his thoughts. But it does make sense. They're both from Indiana. They're both playing travel ball together for the Indy Heat team and the Nike EYBL circuit. And there's no question about it that the guys have enjoyed playing together, at least through the spring. Sometimes you load up so much talent on all-star teams or travel teams, and you think you're going to just kill people and go in with a really good group of talented guards and talented big men, and it doesn't always work out that way when you have so much talent on one floor where each of them at their high schools used to having the ball in their hands, used to scoring a lot of points. Interesting that has worked out really well so far. And I think that the proximity to Indiana and the fact that Archie Miller's been recruiting both of those guys since his first days there obviously put Indiana in good shape. Also, the recruiting writer, and I should mention his name, it's Corey Evans of Rivals.com. He mentioned that there's a lot of buzz on the spring recruiting trail. There has been, especially the weeks I assume that the college coaches are out and kind of buzzing and talking, that Indiana's in really good shape with DJ Carton. He's from Iowa. He recently cut his list to 6 finalists, Indiana one of those finalists, along with Ohio State, Michigan, Xavier, Iowa, and Marquette. So 3-4 Big Ten teams, a couple non-Big Ten teams, in his final six. But that would help Indiana, because if you look at the 2019 class with possibly three scholarship offers to give in that class, and that's important to remember as you hear all these names mentioned. You know, we've been talking about all the players Indiana's in good shape with and all the players that Indiana's offered in recruiting that are in the top 20, the top 50, the top 100. Likely they'll have three scholarship offers for that class, and obviously the guard, the point guard situation, is probably at that time in that class a position they'll need to get into the fold. Also, IU baseball tonight, they are in action. They start the Big Ten tournament with a game against Illinois. Interesting that the Big Ten tournament is at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, Nebraska, the site of the Big Ten tournament. And here in just, a month or so, it'll be the site of the College World Series. So interesting that IU would get an opportunity to play on the field of the College World Series. Of course, a lot of work ahead of the Hoosiers to get to that point in postseason baseball. They have been playing well to close out the season. They started the season really well. They had some down points later in the season, but have seemed to get back on a good track heading into the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And again, they open up against Illinois tonight. I think I saw that, I think it's a late game, like 10 o'clock game, and I think the possibility for late games the first couple rounds of the Big Ten Tournament exists for Indiana. So those will be late games. They are on the Big Ten Network. Sectional pairings tonight. We've talked some about the matchups. We're going to talk some more about those later in the program. Seymour versus New Albany. That's the opener tonight at Jeffersonville. That's the 4A sectional. Also, the second game tonight, Bedford North Lawrence against Floyd Central. Those winners will play at 1 p.m. on Saturday, followed on Saturday by Jeffersonville and Jennings County. That's the bye game, the championship game of that sectional, set for 1 o'clock on Monday, Memorial Day. Silver Creek, eight teams in the 3A sectional. It gets underway tonight. Scottsburg against North Harrison, Brownstown against Cordon Central tonight. We'll be there tomorrow for a big one. Silver Creek and Providence on Thursday at 5:30. Charlestown and Salem will follow that. The winners of the first two games tonight, which would be Scottsburg-North Harrison winner against the Brownstown-Cordon winner, they will play the winner of Silver Creek-Providence and will take on the winner of Charlestown and Salem. That championship game is also set for Monday, I believe a 1 o'clock start on Memorial Day. Let's look at the Clarksville sectional. It's six teams. That's the host of the local 2A sectional. Henryville will take on Lanesville. Crawford County will take on Eastern Pekin. And the winners of those two games will meet in a semifinal game. Clarksville will take on Paoli. That's the bye game. And then the winners from those two semifinals will hook up for the championship. 1A, local sectional, I think with the most local teams would be Shaw Memorial up in the Madison area. Just five teams in that sectional. Christian Academy is going to take on Shaw Memorial in the first round. Borden will take on New Washington. South Central of Elizabeth will take on the winner of the Christian Academy Shaw Memorial game. And the championship game, of course, will be played. I think that also is a Monday game. And I tell you what, that sectional, it's one to watch in southern Indiana because Borden, an opportunity there, I think, to make some noise. You also have in 1A baseball, Lanesville, has had some really good runs in 1A. Actually, they are now up in the 2A classification after the success factor. But Borden now, maybe an open path with Lanesville up to make some noise in 1A baseball here locally. So we talk a lot about 4A and New Albany and Jeff. We talk a lot about 3A with Providence and Silver Creek. Let's not forget Lanesville is up in 2A now and has had some real experience in the state tournament. Let's not forget Borden has perhaps an opening in 1A with Lanesville up in the 2A classification. Softball last night, I do want to give a couple quick moments to softball. Their sectional tournament underway, the 4A sectional, is being played up at Bedford North Lawrence. Jeffersonville beat New Albany in a good one last night, 5-4 the final score. Jeff will take on the winner of Bedford North Lawrence Jennings County, which was Bedford winning 3-1 over Jennings County last night. That puts the semifinals for tonight, Jeff against Bedford at 5:30, Floyd Central against Seymour at 7:30. So the opportunity for Floyd and Jeff possibly to meet in the championship game, which will be played Thursday at 7 o'clock. Again, that will be at Bedford North Lawrence. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Brian Keeter coming up in studio with us a former teammate, longtime friend of Archie Miller, and a great personal story himself. He will join us in just a bit. Stay with us for that. Also, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, coming your way. Our headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesdays, which is a great deal at Hoopsters. You can buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings, and if you buy 3 or 6, you get 3 or 6 free at Hoopster Sports Grill every Wednesday. So a great lunch deal if you're looking to get out, a great dinner deal tonight. Make sure you stop by our friends at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a break and come back with more. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, and really excited, as I told you earlier in the show, about an opportunity to have in studio with me Brian Keeter, who now lives in Louisville, Kentucky, and is a former teammate at North Carolina State of Archie Miller. Brian suffered an automobile accident, I'll let you kind of clarify or add to this a little bit, that has left him paralyzed basically from the waist down.
Right.
So you've learned to live life in a wheelchair. And not only are we interested today, obviously, to talk with you about Archie and your relationship, because he's kind of a mystery man still to some Indiana fans, and he's doing some great stuff recruiting. And I know a lot of people are excited about what IU basketball potentially could become under his leadership. But I also want to talk with you a lot about your injury and some great work you're doing. So this is kind of a twofold opportunity I see to have you in with us today. So first off, Brian, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about your time at North Carolina State. You got to know Archie Miller. You said he was a year ahead of you, and really
right.
The first time you guys got the opportunity to talk, you were there for an unofficial visit, and he was already a player on the North Carolina State roster.
Right, and I think what was funny is the first time I met him, I had a girlfriend in high school, and my girlfriend was actually going to go to NC State as well, and I asked him, should I keep my girlfriend? And he told me that either way I'd be okay because they'd bolt me up and put some muscle on me. So that was his way of, I guess, saying I'd be fine keeping her. I'd be fine without her. So,
absolutely. And from there, you guys became teammates.
Right.
And obviously, as anyone that's been through sports, especially at the college level, with all the travel and the off-season work, I mean, it can be a job at times.
Yeah, I mean, you're together almost 24/7 between practice, you know, eating. We had 3 hours of study all every day. So we were all, you know, together, lived together, all that type stuff.
Well, I want to get back and ask you a whole bunch of stuff about your time with Archie, and mm-hmm. maybe you can give some insight to IU fans that really want to know the IU coach a little bit better than what
right.
we do at this point. But again, I want to spend plenty of time as well talking about you and your cause. So tell us, you know, I mentioned your injury, automobile mm-hmm. accident, and you can tell us kind of date that and what you've been up to. You've started a foundation mm-hmm. that's doing some great work, and then also why you're here in Louisville. So I just want you to tell us a little bit about
okay.
your personal story, your injury, your recovery, and your mission now for spinal cord injuries that I think is much more important than anything basketball we'll talk about today.
Right. Well, I guess I should start by saying my accident was a car accident on December 14th of 2008. You know, it's kind of a mix of might not be the best decisions I made in terms of being out late. I was operating on little to no sleep. And, yeah, I admit I went out with some friends and had a couple of drinks. And I don't really think that it was a true drunk driving accident. But obviously when you mix even a couple of drinks and not sleeping at all, it's not a good combination. My friend said I disappeared late that night and nobody saw me for a couple of hours. And, you know, next thing they know, I hit a utility pole in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm. Absolutely.
And I was in a coma for 2 months, and that's not a medically induced coma. That's, you know, what my injury put me in. And I just had a bunch of other collapsed lung, broken bones, and all this other stuff. And, you know, I was kind of hit or miss for if I was going to survive. And obviously I ended up surviving. I was in the hospital for, I want to say, about 5 to 6 months total, which is a long time.
Absolutely. We're talking with Brian Keeter, a friend of Archie Miller, a former teammate of Archie Miller, who's got really an unbelievable story since that time, as you really, you know, struggled to recover and struggled to get to where you are today and being mm-hmm. able to get around as you do, you have made an effort to bring some awareness, I think is a fair way to say it, to spinal cord injuries. You've set up a foundation. I'd like to hear right. more about that.
Well, I guess, like, you know, I kind of went on a mission once I got out of the hospital, got well enough to start my recovery process, to just go on in with it. And I went to, you know, places all up and down the East Coast, Baltimore, New Jersey, lived in Atlanta for 3 years at the Shepherd Center, went to Miami. Kind of realized pretty quickly that as tough as the science was with treatments and cures, it was more the money, raising funds was, you know, just as challenging, if not harder. So that's why I started my foundation, to kind of help bring awareness and raise money to help these researchers trying to, you know, help people like me and other folks.
And you've got some events going on in Louisville. I know an upcoming cornhole
tournament. It's my first event ever in Louisville. We're doing a cornhole tournament at Papa John's Stadium on June 23rd. And just like a silent auction, raffle, that type of stuff. And trying to put a fundraiser on in a city that you're not from is a little bit challenging. You know, I've been here about a year and a half, and so I'm not really sure how well it's going to go, but we're going to give it a shot. We kind of have to start somewhere, and we'll kind of hope to grow it into like an annual thing as long as I'm here.
All right, so IU fans listening that want to get the chance to meet and also assist Brian and his great foundation, we'll hit this a couple times, but how can they get on and register or find out more about becoming a sponsor or a participant in the event?
Sure. Yeah, you can just go to thewalkonfoundation.org, and you have a donate button at the top, and also have a Cornhole for a Cause 2018 link that you can click on, and I'll take you right there.
I think the first thing may be a challenge, and of course I say this just being funny or trying to be funny, mm-hmm. but Cardinal Stadium, I know that's a cool location. It will be a great backdrop, but maybe some IU fans will need to get you over in Bloomington or at least in southern Indiana, Brian, next time.
Yeah, the thing is, I guess I'm raising money for the Kentucky sure. Spinal Cord Injury sure. Research Center, which is under U of L.
Absolutely.
So, that's kind of what led me to that location.
Absolutely.
But we will have a lot of – I have a box of Indiana stuff. Archie sent me a bunch of stuff last week. So there's like some sign balls and just a bunch of their gear and all that type of stuff that we'll be raffling off and auctioning off and all that.
Tell me, before we get into some Archie and basketball stuff, how big of a friend and a supporter has Archie been to you kind of personally, going through all the challenges that you've been through, and now you're trying to raise money and get sponsors and hold events?
Right.
How's he helped you in that front?
I mean, he's been a tremendous help. You know, it's funny because we were in college when social media wasn't really a thing that it is now, and you know, kind of everybody kind of goes their separate ways. He went directly into the coaching thing with stops at like Western Kentucky for a year, and obviously getting with Ohio State and with his brother out of Arizona. So we kind of lost touch a little bit, and we reconnected after my accident. And I think that's when social media started to kind of take off a little bit. And actually, they were playing NC State. Arizona was playing NC State at NC State, and I made sure I went to that game and got down to the locker room and got to talk to him and kind of linked back up, kind of started just texting about their season. I think they beat Duke in the NCAA tournament that year. I want to say it was to get the Elite Eight, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so we just started talking a lot, texting a lot. You know, sent me a box of Arizona stuff. And you know, a year or two later, he took the UD job. And I kept telling him I was going to come up there and see a game. And from sure, it's about a 7-hour drive. And I'm not sure if he believed I was going to come. And I just went up there one day, and it kind of became a traditional yearly thing. And you know, and I just really started following his team, and he just kind of would talk to me about his players and talk to me about games. After the game, we would text a lot and all that type stuff. So,
and now, as fate would have it, you have come to Louisville for various reasons, and right. he's made his way to Indiana. So you guys are a short
right. Well, yeah, when I came to Louisville, even at UD, he was 2.5 hours. So I went to a lot of their games, not this season, but the season before, and him and IU makes it even closer, so it's even easier for me to get up there.
When you were playing for North Carolina State with Archie, mm-hmm. again, he was a grade ahead of you, so
right.
I'm sure you looked up to him. You had some interactions with him you've already told us about on your mm-hmm. unofficial visit there, asking him for some girlfriend advice even. But did you ever get the sense back then that, you know, this is a guy that has a real brain for basketball and coaching might be – in his future, did you ever?
Oh yeah, obviously his brother was on staff with us there, so you had that. So you knew what his brother did. You knew about his dad. We just And I think the more time has gone on, I've got to understand how just like rooted his whole family is. That's what they do. That's all they know. And but I mean, when Archie was playing, he just, you know, he knew where people should be and where people should go, and he'd help, you know, guide some of the people that you might not know where to go. He'd be quick to point it out. And I try to say too that he was a good athlete too. Like, you know, he kind of took the whole, maybe the short guy, white guy out of the equation, because I was the second shortest because of him, and I'm 6'2". You know, he was could jump up and grab the rim. Was actually really strong in the weight room too. So he's a lot more athletic. He wasn't just he was a great, great shooter, but he was a lot more athletic than probably people might realize.
How would you describe him as a player on the floor?
Intelligent. His shooting was his thing. I mean, I've never seen anybody that can shoot like him. And one of the things, we would have a 100 free throws to shoot at the end of practice, and everybody would have a number. I think my number, I was supposed to make like 87, I think, and his was like 96 or 97 out of 100, and he would do it routinely, and that's just, that's not a lot of people can do that.
Absolutely. Talking with Brian Keeter, he's a former teammate and friend of IU coach Archie Miller, and also is telling us about his great spinal cord recovery and fundraising efforts that we'll continue to remind you about today and in the future here on this program. Brian, Archie Miller, now that he's been in Bloomington, I assume you've been able to make probably more trips than any other point to see his teams play and maybe some practices as well. What's it been like for you with him so close, closer now than ever, you know, proximity-wise?
I mean, it's a beautiful campus. The first time I went up there, I'd never been there before. So getting up there, I went up there for one of their team camps, and just, you know, like I said, a beautiful campus. And getting up there, I've gotten up there a lot, but their schedule this year, they didn't have that many weekend games. I don't know if it's the Big Ten Network, the way they kind of set things up. So I actually probably went to more Dayton games, but I think that'll change as time goes on. But I did get to a lot of their games this year, and a lot of pretty big games, actually.
Let's talk some maybe about Archie behind the scenes. You know, he's a guy that from his very first press conference when he was introduced as Indiana's coach, you know, no question he came across serious, no real flamboyancy to him. He's down to the point, and you know, I think a lot of people respect that, that he's very serious when he talks with the media. He seems to be very focused on what he's doing. And, you know, we go back to Tom Crean, the former coach at Indiana, for a guy that hosts a radio show and you're looking for sound bites and clips. You know, Tom Crean wanted to talk with everybody and had comments on a lot of things. Archie's been much more, I don't want to say reserved, but much more maybe candid in his comments and also reserved at times in his comments as well. So I think the opinion that after one full season and kind of following him on the recruiting trail and talking to others in the college game that know him and his family much better than I do, that, you know, that's him. He's just a really serious, very, very intense guy. Can you kind of maybe build on that if that's correct?
I mean, I think he is a very intense guy. And one thing that I said when he got the job was, like, people are going to like him because he's about basketball. He's not ever going to be someone who's going to, you know, do some of the things that some coaches do off the court to get in trouble or distractions. He's, you know, about his daughter, his wife Morgan, daughter Leah, and basketball. That's all it's about for him.
Talking with Brian Keeter about Archie Miller. And Brian, while we've got a pause here for a second, remind us of your event, remind us of your foundation, how people can learn more and help your cause.
Yeah, it's just the walkonfoundation.org, and we're doing a cornhole tournament with auction and raffle, and actually we're having live music from a guy out of Nashville named Eric Dodd on June 23rd at Papa John's Stadium.
Sounds great. We're going to head to a commercial break. Much more coming from Brian. A great background here, some information on Archie Miller, and again, a great story about his recovery and fundraising efforts for a spinal cord injury. We'll be back with more. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for another. Keeter, he is a friend of Archie Miller and a spinal cord in the process of recovering from a spinal cord injury and telling us about some fundraising efforts, a cornhole tournament coming up in June, and about his foundation as well. Brian, you and I were talking over the commercial break, and you made some really good points about spinal cord injuries mm-hmm. in general. And I'd like you to talk about, you know, there's obviously various levels, and you're fortunate enough where you know, feed yourself, you get around, you drove over to the radio station today, mm-hmm. And can really, in many ways, still live a somewhat, I think, independent life.
Right.
But a lot of people aren't even as fortunate as what you were with your recovery,
right.
And the community of spinal cord injuries and those recovering from that injury. It's not like cancer where there's help on every corner and people that want to help and you can network and learn more about it. So it's mm-hmm. it's kind of a different situation in a lot of different angles, I guess you could say.
Right. I mean, I didn't know anything about spinal cord injuries until it happened to me. I didn't know that. Yeah, I figured you just lose the loss of your legs and that would be it. I didn't know that, you know, things like I don't sweat below my waist. So like body temperature regulation can be off for people. You know, but it's, like, you're right, I have it a lot better than a lot of people I've met, where I live by myself, I work, I run my foundation, I work out, I drove here. And a lot of people can't do that. So days that I get frustrated, I kind of use that to put things in perspective. You know, at least I have this and don't have to deal with that. But the spinal cord injury population is pretty small. It's only about, you know, 500,000 people in the United States, but millions worldwide. But I will say, too, that a lot of things that are going to work treatment-wise for spinal cord injuries are probably going to help other neurological things like stroke, MS, and maybe even ALS and other things like that. So that kind of makes it grow in terms of the population size that could benefit from what we're trying to do.
Interesting. Funny Archie Miller story. You said during one of your trips to Bloomington this year that you had a pretty funny thing you wanted to do.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants me to tell this story, but I went up there for the Northwestern game. They got a easy win, actually. That's actually the first time I met Romeo before the game. And what we used to always do at Dayton, I would just hang out after the game and just go back to his house and maybe just watch other games and talk for a little bit. And I went there, and it kind of had been snowing. But I think the snow had kind of stopped. I think it was one of those times where it kind of melted a little bit and froze, which is worse than the powder snow. And I went to his house and I pulled in, like, all the roads were clear, but his driveway was just covered. And like, I was just like, you know, you don't have people to do this, because obviously he makes a good amount of money. And somebody dropped the ball with that. And so we just went into the driveway, went into his house, watched some TV, ate some pizza, and I came back out. I thought it would be fine. And I was pulling out and I got stuck. And I'm from North Carolina, so I have a front wheel drive. It's a small SUV, but I got stuck there, and I called him to come out, and he has a four-wheel drive car, and he drove and tried to bump me out, and I couldn't get out. And then he went down in his yard and turned around to come back up to bump me again, and he got stuck. So I just, could you imagine, like, thinking what people would think, like, the head coach of Indiana and his friend are both stuck in the snow, and we had to call a tow truck to get him out and me out and send me along my way.
Great story, and I'm sure that whoever is supposed to scrape his driveway and salt his driveway, hopefully they'll be on that a little better.
Yeah,
next
I was
time.
Worried that too. I think I might have dug my tires in his yard. I'm sure Morgan wasn't probably too happy about what I did to their yard that night.
Brian Keeter is our guest, a friend of Archie Miller, former teammate of Archie Miller at North Carolina State, and spinal cord injury recovery and his foundation. A lot of great things. I'm curious, of all the places you've been to receive treatment for your injury, of course, you went to college at North Carolina State, and
right.
I know you've just been around. What brought you to Louisville, Kentucky? What made you come and pop down just across the river from us?
Well, what brought me here was actually, I was just doing some, you know, I got back from Atlanta to Charlotte, and I was just doing kind of research where to go next, and I came across Dr. Susan Harkema, who's at Kentucky Spinal Cord Injury Research Center, which is under University of Louisville, and she has actually been putting an implant in people, kind of like a pain stimulator, but using it in an off-label manner that excites the spinal cord, excites the nervous system, and is able to make those signals cross the injured area, which led to people being able to stand up, even take steps and gain back lost body functions and movement. So that's what brought me here. And it's just been interesting because, you know, a lot of people don't know that's what she's doing. I just feel like that's just because they're part of their academic world. They don't really market that much, not like a business would. And so that's what brought me here, just to try to hopefully get her to put that implant in me one day and just kind of help. I work for her now and kind of just help them hopefully bring that thing from research to clinic to help everybody.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, the walkonfoundation.org is the website. Cornhole for a Cause, your next upcoming event, June 23rd, 9 a.m., Papa John's Stadium. You can go to the website very easily, click on that event, purchase a ticket for the event, and, of course, contact Brian for sponsorships. I know we have some Hoosier faithful that might have businesses or would be proud to help out a good cause and a friend of Coach Miller. So we encourage you to check it out, and we'll continue to remind people here on this program and this station between now and your next fundraiser. I think that you offer some neat insight, not just into Archie Miller, but give us a chance here in the off season to take a little bit of a pause and talk about spinal cord research and injuries and things that typically wouldn't make its way onto a show focused on IU basketball, which I think is very important when you can merge and mix the two and maybe get some people thinking about topics that they may normally not hear about.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm really am excited about Archie's next season. I've been saying he's a really good coach. There's not too many coaches in the country I would take over him, if any. So I think he's really going to do some big things here.
Have you talked with him, text with him? I know you communicate by text a lot. Have you text with him since the Romeo Langford decision? Is he got to be just thrilled with that one?
He's definitely thrilled, and I will kind of say I kind of knew before he announced, but then once he announced that he was going to commit to, well, I knew they were in a very, very good spot. I shouldn't say that I knew for sure, but once he said he was going to do it in public, I was like, there's no way he's not going to commit to IU now, because you're not going to have 5,000 people show up and say, I'm going to Vanderbilt. So, but yeah, he's really excited. But you know, with guy like Romeo and the rest of the class that he has comes increased expectations. So, he's got to try to meet some of those. So
I'm curious, have you seen Romeo play, and do you ever get out to high school games here or in Louisville to kind of maybe be a extra eye for Coach Miller?
No, I've seen him play on TV before, and I've met him a couple of times. Really seems like a really, really humble kid. I was definitely impressed with how he handles all the attention that he's got. I can't imagine being him. I haven't seen him play really much live yet, so I'm really looking forward to next season.
Absolutely, and before we close, you did get the chance, you say, to meet Romeo briefly at the Northwestern game, which was kind of, I think a lot of people look back on that as maybe a turning point where he got to see what you've seen for years, Archie Miller up close and personal.
Right, yeah, and I've kind of read that too, that was kind of, in his words, kind of like a turning point at that game. They beat Northwestern pretty comfortably. I met him, and I can't remember the guy that was with him, but I think that was one of the first games that his parents weren't at the game with him. So, I got to meet him and talk to him a little bit before in the coach's room before the tip-off.
Awesome. Brian Keeter, friend of and teammate at North Carolina State of Archie Miller, the walkonfoundation.org, Cornhole for a Cause, coming up on June 23rd at Papa John's Stadium in Louisville, Kentucky. Brian, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. I know Vince Garmin and some others have mentioned you to me before, and we read your story, obviously, that our good friend Greg Doyle wrote about you, a column that was very good. Yeah. That's been a while back, and so you've kind of been on my radar, and it's great that some local friends here on this side of the river have helped us connect, and we plan to stay in touch. I'd like to continue to have you back from time to time as you get to see the Hoosiers play and continue to build your relationship with your former teammate and friend Archie Miller, and also probably most importantly out of all of it, keep up to date with your situation and with your fundraisers and cause of spinal cord assistance and research. So very interesting, a real pleasure to have you today, and we'll do this again for sure.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks. And Brian Keeter with us here in studio today. Great story. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back for a final quick segment with Greg Mengelt, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll dig into the sectional baseball pairings that get underway tonight at many locations across the state, including some big ones out at Jeffersonville that we will have pitch-by-pitch coverage of right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Final segment coming your way after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back for a final segment. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us today. And, Greg, it's always fun to talk Southern Indiana sports headlines with you on Wednesdays, but it's especially fun today because I think, knock on wood, we've got some good weather today and forthcoming over the next few days, and we've got sectional baseball heading up for this Memorial Day weekend. And things get started tonight at Jeffersonville, right out of the gate with some interesting matchups. New Albany and Seymour. New Albany, the better team, the better record. But good pitching for Seymour tonight. We expect they'll go with their ace, Alan Perry. Makes them competitive in just about any game. And then Floyd Central and Bedford, the second game tonight to open play at Jeff. That should be a very, very even contest. So I'm looking forward to being at the ballpark and getting this sectional play that we've been talking about now since really the end of basketball season underway.
Yeah, those really could be two good games tonight. I expect New Albany and Floyd Central to come out with wins, but Seymour is without question dangerous. Alan Perry, when he pitches, they're pretty darn good. Bedford, obviously, you know, they lost eight starters from last year's championship team, but very good young talent. We've seen their program coming up for a long time from Little League up, which happens, which we've seen, of course, at Jeffersonville and Providence and New Albany with the Little League talent filtering up to the high schools. And now that's beginning to happen at Bedford with Jeff Callahan, who does a great job. So, yeah, I think New Albany and Floyd are going to set up a rematch for the semifinals. But, you know, both teams that they're playing are capable of beating good teams.
Talking with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Getting ready for a big night of sectionals. We'll be on the air at 5:30 from Jeffersonville tonight. I tell you what, when you look at 4A and you look at the matchups and you talk about New Albany having to go against Seymour tonight, who has one really tough pitcher in Alan Perry, and you talk about Floyd Central and Bedford, two even teams that will do battle tonight. And then you look at the bye game, Jeffersonville and Jennings County. The Red Devils not only hosting the sectional, but they get a real break as far as the bye game and drawing Jennings County, who has not had a good season this year. I think I used the word lackluster yesterday to describe their season. That's about as kind of a word as I can come up with here on the program. But nonetheless, they have an easy trip to the Monday Memorial Day Championship. And I think in baseball, when you're trying to rest arms and pitching and things are so finicky, that is a huge deal for them.
I'm sure Derek Ellis will not want to hear me say this, but Jennings County is the one team in the sectional that you do not have to fear in any way. So, like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, I've never seen a sectional picture change so much with the draw, probably in my life, that you get Jeffersonville essentially basically drawn into the championship game where they can pitch whoever they want while the other four teams battle each other and use their pitching and fight and scratch their way into the championship game with Jeffersonville just sitting there waiting. It's pretty crazy in what seemed like a pretty open sectional with five teams that had a chance to win it. Two really good teams, but you know, every team in there had a chance in a baseball game, except for Jennings County, of course. And now, I mean, it's hard to imagine Jeffersonville not winning this thing. So that the draw, you know, in a six-team sectional is always important, but this was incredibly fortunate for Jeffersonville and unfortunate for the other teams.
Absolutely. I think we're going to have some fun at Jeff. I think it will be, I'm hoping it works out. New Albany and Floyd Central both win tonight. That sets up a rivalry game for us Saturday. Then we have Jeff Jennings County. And then the winner of that game, either New Albany or Floyd Central against Jeff, puts another rivalry game in the 4A sectional championship, which I think speaks to the talent of baseball here in the far southern part of the state. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk to you for a minute about Silver Creek. We have spent a lot of time talking and thinking about the tomorrow's game Thursday, with it being an 8-team sectional. They'll have two opening round games tonight. They'll have two more games on Thursday night. Silver Creek and Providence, obviously the big matchup. We'll have that broadcast Thursday at 5:30. But it's not a cinch for either one of those teams. Whoever wins between Silver Creek and Providence, there are some tricky things that could await or match up with them to get to that sectional championship and to win it. So it will be interesting to see that whoever wins that big game where all the pressure and attention is on, how they hold up coming out of that one.
Sure, that's the worst thing that could have happened for both of those teams. They've got to do everything they can to win this first game, and that includes using up all their pitchers. It doesn't matter because those are by far the best two teams. But, you know, Charlestown, if they can get by Salem, and Salem's best pitcher, I think they won 8 games and their best pitcher's won 7 games. If they can get by him, and they just beat him, I believe 3-0 a couple of weeks ago. If Charlestown can get by them and with Providence and Silver Creek having beaten each other up, I could see an upset there for sure. I mean, it's happened in that sectional a few times. North Harrison has done it. I think Corydon won it a few times. I think you're right. I think the winner of that game is not a lock. I expect him to win. In fact, I expect, this is a big statement, but I expect whoever wins that game to be the state championship favorite after that. But I don't think it's any chance. I don't think by any means that the winner of that game is guaranteed anything.
Under a couple minutes left, but Greg, I do want to give you the opportunity, and fans can, listeners, I should say, can read this at newsandtribune.com/sports. But Josh Cook, your sports cohort, had a great story on Providence senior Timmy Borden about the bright future that he has potentially in baseball. You know, we talk about Romeo on the basketball front and all the projections already about him getting an opportunity to play professionally in the NBA. Timmy Borden, likewise, is a commit to UofL baseball, but is getting some really good remarks on maybe a professional future for him as well.
It was a great story by Josh, and Timmy Borden's a great story. We've known about him since he was 11 years old. Been following him since then. But this senior class might be the best senior class in the 20 years that I've been down here in Southern Indiana. Allison Cathy and Allie Stumler and Marissa Horning in volleyball, and you could just go on and on and on with the top level Division I recruits, which I've never seen from a single class from Clark and Floyd County before. So we've been truly blessed this year with incredible talent. And Timmy Borden might be the one that stands out the most in the end. I mean, he could be that good.
Greg Bengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, we'll see you at a ballpark soon this week, I'm sure. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m., right here on the Big X Sports Radio.